847-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Welcome back, Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. How you doing, my friend? All right. Okay. Well, while we're awaiting Dr. Craig, let's go to... Who do we have on the line, Calvin?
Andre on the line from Minneapolis.
Hey, all right, Andre, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call.
I'm doing pretty good. I call and say this here, my friend. You know, Julie, the lady you had on, I believe it's an ancient African proverb that takes a village, it's not Hillary Clinton. Having said that, you know, brother, what goes around comes around, and you ain't seen nothing yet. That guy, Michael Lindell, the puller guy,
yeah.
I'm from Minneapolis. I grew up here. I was born in Wauwatosa, spent tons of years in Minneapolis. He did not get personal nothing. I'm not, you know, he's got what he deserved. Like I said, you ain't seen nothing. There's going to be some more heads going to roll. The guy's a former crack addict. What goes around comes around. I don't feel sorry for him. Good riddance, and may he ride in hell. Have a good day, brother.
Thank you. Mike Lindell, the once $100 million businessman, has just about lost it all. Dr. Craig, hang on. Let's go to Gene from Eau Claire quickly. Hey, good morning, Gene. You say what?
Oh, good morning, guys. Yeah, I have no empathy for the guy that hurt our country significantly. But I had a quick comment, you know, on the internet. You know, I think that somehow it really needs to be discussed as far as accountability for messaging. I really believe that because we have accountability if you write something in the newspaper. We have accountability for advertising on the television. I remember years ago there was something with subliminal messaging in advertising, you know, to sell products. And I think somewhere there needs to be some guidelines or even, you know, this is what you don't do, and when this is your opinion, you know, like people, a lot of people will state their opinion like fact. I think there needs to be some different points that people need to abide by when they're utilizing this vast source, because it's like mailing all your neighbors a letter that one of your neighbors is a suspected robber or a criminal or something like that, only you're reaching all over the world. So that's just my opinion. Thank you very much, and you have a good day.
Hey, bye. Thank you very much, as always, Gene. So, Dr. Craig, welcome back. How you doing?
Good. I apologize. I lost my phone on a trip, and I'm still learning the phone, and I muted myself without knowing it. I apologize for messing up your opening, Dr. Craig. Two good calls.
No problem whatsoever. Man, your thoughts about what President Biden is attempting to do, free speech, you know, shouldn't mean that people can do and do anything they want to do. And as Dave from Mequon was basically saying, what part of this do we want to regulate? Let's just leave it to the wild, wild west. We're doing irreparable harm to people with this. Dr. Craig, your thoughts about whether or not President Biden and what he was attempting to do to hold accountable some of these people who own these internet sites?
I mean, I agree that the big question is going to be how much executive authority does he have? And there's a difference in what he might actually have based on our legal analysis and what a Trump PAC courts might say he has, right? Because we learned that on student loan debt forgiveness.
Right.
But I think that we have a real problem in this country, and this is partly why the framers of the Constitution didn't want to have a Bill of Rights and were forced to do so to get ratification. Both the concern that if you only name that any name right not named would be assumed not to exist, which they didn't believe, and second, that the rights become absolute and violate other rights. So, and that's what we've seen in the Second Amendment, and we've seen it in the First Amendment. I mean, yes, freedom of speech is essential. It's supposed to be protected to protect democracy. But it violates other people's rights when it damages them and harms their lives, right? It goes back to the Supreme Court dictum from Oliver Wendell Holmes that, you don't have a right to yell fire in a crowded theater. And that was in an age when there were no sprinkler systems and people would panic and trample right. themselves each other very easily back before a lot of modern technology. And so... you also have these companies that are profiting off of it. They're not just allowing it, Earl. It's worse than that. They have algorithms that encourage it because it creates more impressions and creates more advertising revenue for them. And so the stuff that, even if it's a small percentage of the internet, if it gets more clicks, it goes to your top of your feed. And what your friends are actually saying, what most people are saying, is buried. And so it's a ridiculous system. It is for profit. It is the same kind of thing as fossil fuel companies causing a climate crisis just for short-term profit, and utilities doing the same, or health insurance and hospitals and big pharma companies just exploiting people and killing people just to get more profit, denying them health care and charging them outrageous rates, price gouging. So it's the same kind of thing. And the only thing that can stand up to that kind of monopoly abuse, because these are monopolies, is our democratic government. So I applaud President Biden for trying to do something. I'm a little afraid that he may need Congress ultimately. And even then, he may need to rebalance the courts, because we have courts that have become a super legislature right now with lifetime appointments at the Supreme Court level.
Well, let's go to the phone lines quickly. And CJ, good morning, CJ. You have a question or comment for Dr. Craig?
Yes, thank you for taking my call, Earl. Well, previously, Mike Lindell, the pillow guy, will be just fine. The crackhead.
He's not going to be fine, man. He's selling everything he has, CJ. He had $100 million. I don't think he's going to be fine, because CJ says he's going to be fine. He's being sued by Dominion, and he's going to lose. So he's losing everything that he has. He's not going to be fine. Go ahead.
I'm listening to him. He'll be fine. You know, on the caller that says he wants him to rot in hell, what an evil person that must be. You know, the mere fact that we found out that our government was involved in the election, the FBI paid Twitter Facebook $3.5 million. We found out just how our government is involved in the cover-up.
Cover-up of what? Cover-up of what?
The big lie.
Cover-up of what?
The big lie about Trump being involved with Russia. It was a lie, along with pencil neck Adam Schiff being censored and your party celebrating him. $30 million, 2.5-year lie, and the Mueller report was a lie, and the Durham report proved how that was a fact. But as far as Section 230 and the media being governed, yes, they should. We're finding out about TikTok and the ban across many states is proven that, yes, there is influence by social media. But whether it should govern products or not, that's freedom of speech, and it should go on. It should be looked at just as Section 230 should be looked at, that was proven that our government has overstepped its bounds. But I just want to say God bless Mike Lindell. And there were things that were done during the COVID that are proven, like the ballot harvesting that went on in our park was proven not to be approved and not to be constitutional. So there were things that went on that shouldn't be allowed just due to the COVID that your party wants to continue. I believe in voter ID. Do you believe in voter ID to be able to identify who you are to vote? I believe it should be. Well, your party doesn't, because they want illegal voters to vote.
Hey,
like you're going to see your party.
Hey, CJ,
wants
CJ, I'm just going to ask you one question. 3 years later, you still believe that Joe Biden is not the president of the United States and that Donald Trump was cheated. You still believe that?
I'm not saying that.
Well,
I'm
then
saying
what are
that
you
the
saying?
Law should, the legal voting should be enforced that you have to identify yourself.
That's already there.
You want illegal aliens to vote.
Okay. Thank you very much for the call. Hey, Dr. Craig, we've got to go to a break quickly. When we come back, we'll get right back to you. Let you respond if you choose to. Otherwise, I got a lot of other stuff to talk about. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. I'm glad he's back. We'll be right back.
Show 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy this afternoon with scattered thunderstorms likely. Highs around 71. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Overcast skies tonight. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows around 62. Chance for scattered storms again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 79. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 70 degrees.
Show it out.
967-2789, 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Dr. Craig, the passing of the 2% sales tax in the city of Milwaukee, your thoughts?
Yeah, Earl. I think the gravity in your voice is appropriate. Look, the alders were put in a nearly impossible situation because they had two horrendous choices, right? They could vote for a very regressive sales tax. Sales tax is regressive because lower income people pay a lot higher percentage of income for basic necessities than wealthier people. Much better to use the income tax, which is what shared revenue is drawn from, than it is a sales tax. And it was foisted upon them in a deal that includes massive attacks on Milwaukee's home rule and democracy in Milwaukee, because it takes a whole bunch of decisions away from the people of Milwaukee, which is the only large BIPOC majority city, black and brown city in the country, in the state. Gives it to right-wing, predominantly white Republican legislators, and they stipulated a whole lot of things. But the alternative was the city not being able to pay its bills, not because of any fault of the city, but because they've been choked for revenue by a conspiracy led by a legislature that's illegitimate, that won by rigging the maps and holds massive power that way, not because they won democratically. They don't have any legitimacy or any right to rule, really, in any real democracy. So they were forced to take a vote where something they were against, they had to vote for, right, because it was worse to bankrupt the city. And I mean, let me remind us, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel PolitiFact, when I say bankruptcy, there's a common phrase, bankruptcy, we use just to describe you can't pay your bills. There's also a technical legal phrase. I'm not referring to that. And they don't seem to be able to understand the difference at PolitiFact between legal technicalities and the way people actually use words in common conversation. So it was good that the alders did what they did and approved it. It's good that they're likely to sue over the attacks on Milwaukee's democracy, because there is a good case, I am told, by civic leaders in some other cities, because you can't just target one city that way in Wisconsin statute. And we have a Supreme Court that might actually hear the case. So they did the right thing, but they were put in a very difficult position, both by the Republicans and by the fact that Governor Evers refused to fight in this budget and capitulated to the terms of this legislature.
They were forced to make a deal with the devil. And, we actually didn't have any choice, as you stated. Let's go quickly again. David from Mequon. David?
Hi, Earl. Thanks for taking my call again. Really quickly, I just want to mention in regards with the pension. So that was enacted in 1937 when Milwaukee, back when La Follette was governor, decided, and the legislature decided, that Milwaukee could have its own little special pension system. And this has been brewing. It's been underfunded for years. The city of Milwaukee had an opportunity in 2011. Don Walker and Journal Sentinel talked about it. I sent you a link where the state, they had a chance to go into the state system and for that purpose. And if you look at Wisconsin, as far as retirement system is concerned, is the best in the United States. The fact that Milwaukee and the county wanted to have something a little bit more lavish than what the state currently offers is something that, unfortunately, that current residents are paying for. Thankfully, from what I understand, that this tax will go away as soon as it's fully funded, and or 30 years or something like that. So it's not like it's permanent. It's going to be there for a while, but it's strictly to pay for some of the mistakes that previous local government officials should have addressed a long time ago, and they did not do that. When Tom Barrett was mayor, he had an opportunity, and he did not take that opportunity.
Hey David, what role does the legislature of the state of Wisconsin pay without giving Milwaukee and Milwaukee County its fair share of revenue? What role do they play in this?
Well, for starters, Milwaukee is not the only city that's crying for its fair share. There are many cities throughout the state. There were
That even be an issue, David? That's the point.
Because at the end of the day, every community has different problems. Milwaukee has got a problem in the fact that it's got a shrinking population. That's number one. It's been shrinking since 1960. And number two, unfortunately, when we had the stock market crash, a number of years ago now.
So cool, and let me know the lowdown how you feel about things. Oh, you ain't doing nothing but jive, baby, and we've got a very serious problem, yeah. Come on, baby.
All right, back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. So, Dr. Craig, you heard David's response. What David had to say, your response.
Yeah, now, David had a very thoughtful call. I'm going to disagree in some respects, but it wasn't like CJ, the caller earlier, Earl, I think he said that he would trust Mike Lindell, the pillow guy, over you, and I can't understand that. And that says everything. We can actually answer everything else based on that premise. If he's listening to the pillow guy, then of course he believes all the other stuff
right,
he said.
Right.
But as far as the whole pension issue, look, absolutely right that the city of Milwaukee has made mistakes, but elected leaders make mistakes all the time. Right. The state legislature has revenue power. It can simply fix its mistakes. Plenty have been made over the years on many policies. How long do the people of Milwaukee now, who had nothing to do with it, have to suffer under this?
Right.
And what Dave isn't talking about is the underlying cause of the pension crisis. Look, back in the 40s and 50s and 60s and into the 70s, pensions made a lot of sense. A lot of corporations, like the big auto companies, the big steel companies, got caught in pension problems because they assumed that they would have a continuing supply of younger workers to pay the cost of the pensions of retired workers.
Right.
And then there was with automation, there was a dramatic reduction in workers. And, of course, they started outsourcing, and then you have a crisis. And we have a crisis nationally with the number of big corporations that have reneged on their pensions and dumped it into underfunded, government-supported but not fully funded pension plans. And that's why those crises come up from time to time. So when Milwaukee decided to do this, there was something that everyone was doing. In addition, we need pensions, Earl. We pass over the fact that we're going to have impoverished seniors in the future because the current generation of seniors is the last one that has a significant number of pensions. And most seniors have, because of the way things are structured now, dramatically underfunded their own retirement. So we really should have pensions. And the city also was strangled for revenue, as we've talked about, in a conspiracy by the legislature. And so they have a problem to fix, but it's something that corporate America just dumped, and Milwaukee is not dumped, to their credit. So I would just say we need to come together to fix it, but when you have a legislature which is not legitimate, because it's not democratically elected, that just wants to punish Milwaukee and hold them accountable for every mistake, real and imagined, and diversity and equity projects and initiatives are not a mistake. This is a right-wing cudgel of theirs. Then they impose more on Milwaukee. And I could go on about the structural elements here. We just need to fix it. I think Dave has a point. City leaders have made plenty of mistakes over the years, but that's going to happen. Humans make mistakes.
You know, Dr. Craig, and I said to Dave on yesterday, so you want to hold, again, people today, and taxpayers today who had nothing to do with any of that. You're saying that all of us, we should all suffer, as you stated, because of some decisions that were made in the past. And that's ridiculous to say that all of us are responsible for those decisions and that we should be, you know, suffering from those decisions. And you said it so aptly, so I don't need to go any further. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Hey, Tom, you said what, sir?
Yeah, good morning, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, especially once we get money out of politics and restore government back to we the people. But I would just like to say I really didn't like the decision that Ronald Reagan made about taking the solar panels off the White House. I really didn't like the idea of him increasing the ability for us to be using fossil fuels rather than solar and other things that Jimmy Carter talked about. I also didn't like the fact that George War Criminal Bush lied we the people into into a war in Iraq and Iraq, I'll say. So there's a lot of decisions that I would say that are actually quite malicious in terms of what was being done by other administrations. And honestly, I'm an American. I have to live with it because that's how the president went and did things. Just like in Milwaukee, there's people maybe that had messed up, but I wouldn't say they messed up to the point of sending us our soldiers to war without the proper equipment and without the, you know, different things that they needed for a war. So I guess what I'm saying is just give me a break, Republicans. And you know what they're going to soon say, what they're going to come out and say really quickly, Earl, is that the unemployment numbers aren't real, because that's what they said under Barack Obama. They're not real. The people that are actually putting out the unemployment numbers, they're lying. That's you can't win with these guys. They truly are the poison pill party, is what they are.
Hey,
Republicans are the poison pill party.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Hey, Dr. Craig, you know, there's a lot of gnashing of teeth because what Governor Evers did by removing and moving some numbers around and eliminating some dashes now has opened up the door. And it was criminal what he did if you listen to Republicans. Do you remember a guy named Scott Walker, Dr. Craig?
Unfortunately.
Do you remember?
You triggered something there, but yes.
Do you remember Scott Walker and his 1,000-year, what was it called? This 1,000-year, I just had it on my mind.
Yeah, you're right. You had something for 1,000 years. And of course, you go back to Tommy Thompson's Vanna White veto as
yes.
well, for example.
So, Dr. Craig, your thoughts about they're saying it's criminal what the governor did. All the governor did was took advantage of what they have always done in the state, right?
Look, I'd be happy to, you know, kind of have shared norms where we hold each party accountable to the same standards and they hold themselves accountable. That's not what happens. They say it, as you pointed out, Earl, they say it's an outrage when Democrats do it and Republicans do it. They excuse it and justify it because of some imagined wrongdoing someone else did.
So Dr. Craig,
and so it's not real.
Dr. Craig, hold on. It was Scott Walker's 1,000-year veto bill. That's what he came up
now,
with. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Let me put it in context. Everyone's hyperventilating over this, and the media has made it look like something much more dramatic than it is because it is hard to imagine you can do it, right? But it doesn't achieve very much. It's not illegal, okay? They can sue. Why don't they sue? But they'll lose. They could try to make it illegal, but they of course would change the law if the governorship changed hands, right? They'll make it, you see what I mean? So
yes.
A Republican could do it. And that's the problem with dealing with them right now. They shred all norms. And but the thing is there's no funding mechanism behind it. So it actually does not extend school funding for 400 years. If the legislature doesn't agree to additional state revenue, it would all have to come off of property taxes, and there's a limit to how far you could raise them, just as far as people staying in their homes, and be passed by a referendum. And after a while, they're not going to pass. Some of them aren't passing now, like in Beloit. So it is, it's kind of like the governor pulled a rabbit out of the hat, but no one's looking very closely at the rabbit. Okay, the rabbit is either a stuffed rabbit or a very lame rabbit, however you want to have it. I don't want to say things ill of rabbits, so we'll say it's a stuffed rabbit.
You know, Dr. Craig, the governor, and the fact that the governor was not willing to fight back, and I know some will say, well, he did, or what did you expect him to do? But you and I talked about this. Even before, did you expect, and they can say, well, you know, the governor had 99 vetoes. But are you satisfied that he went to the mat on this budget?
No, I'm unsatisfied with his tactics. I understand there was a lot of good things in his budget, but you need to fight effectively for the things you believe in, the things you were elected to do. And he's the only legitimately elected player in the budget, right? Because the legislature won by maps, not by votes,
right,
by rigging them. And so he let them set the whole agenda and set the terms of the debate. That's how he got put in the position of trading away education for shared revenue, still not getting a very good shared revenue deal. It still does outrageous things to take away Milwaukee's democratic control of its own affairs.
And the fact that Milwaukee only got 10%. But go ahead.
Yeah, and exactly. And put voucher schools on a path to be better funded than public schools, which has been the 30-year long-term dream of the right-wing movement in this state. And that you're put in a position where you're trading his top priority for theirs and still not, and getting a bad deal on both. The reason it happened, Earl, is because his major power, the power of a president or a governor, is the fact that they are elected by the whole people, either of the country or the state, and they can mobilize public opinion on popular issues and back down a legislature. And because there could be fair maps next time because of the change Supreme Court, there actually was leverage. So I wrote a long column for the Wisconsin Examiner. And there are a lot of people critiquing what the governor did, but I laid out how the governor could say, these are the issues I must have, and I'm going to veto all of these things you want unless you will negotiate over them, because it was not a negotiated budget. It's their budget. And so instead of mobilizing public opinion, he tried to avoid a budget impasse at any risk and avoid controversy, and got sucked into an inside negotiation where they had all the cards. And so they don't understand, the people around the governor who are advising him, where the power of a governor resides. Now, what my concern, Earl, is he has 60% approval ratings according to the Smart Cap poll. I think there's some advisors around Governor Evers who think they're winning, and that's their criterion for winning, not what the outcome is in the state budget. And that's just wrong. It's wrong morally, and wrong as far as what the obligations of elected officials are.
You know, Dr. Craig, just so well said, because not that he's winning, but that the people are winning. And that should be the measuring stick, right? I mean, whether or not the people are winning.
Very well put. I'm going to steal it, Earl.
You know, Dr. Craig, and you know, even though, you know, this 2% sales tax has passed, they control how the money is going to be spent. And I do understand, you know, and the county's going to face the exact same thing. You know, what can they do? You know, They can't, you know, fight this, because if they fight it, they'll run out of resources. So they're forced to do the exact same thing. And I just thought that, you know, to accept it in the way that it has been put together just was not right. And that could have been stronger and challenged what these people did because they got away with something once again.
Yeah, the modern, you know, authoritarian-oriented Republican Party, it grabs the jugular and holds on. They have the jugular because they have the legislature. They've got to be fairer maps for the next election. The state Supreme Court now has a majority that would actually look at that fairly. And then we have to turn around this legislature. That is the only way to do it. Now, what I don't know, Earl, is it is really hard to tell whether Chevy Johnson and David Crawley had to do what the governor wanted.
Dr. Craig, hang on a second. We'll give you a shot on the other side. We'll be right back. At 844-967-2789, text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. So, Dr. Craig, you know, with the eventual changing of the state Supreme Court and maps changing, it's still none of this is a quick fix. The damage that's been done and the state legislature being in positions of power, it's going to take, you know, years and years and years before Democrats can regain control. So, you know, the only thing you can say is at least they'll start down the path of correcting it. Is it safe to say that?
Well, we have to get the fairer maps first. There are some rumors that it might take until 2026. It can't take that long because 24 is when the Republicans under Trump or DeSantis steal the democracy in the national election. And
right.
Wisconsin would be at the forefront of that. You do have a problem that sometimes a lot of Democrats don't act in with the urgency of the situation. If you're facing authoritarians, they act immediately. Their Supreme Court data national, take things immediately, shred all the rules. I'm not proposing that, but you can't go and have a 2-year damn process,
right?
For this, for you have to decide whether or not this kind of gerrymandering is constitutional or not under the Wisconsin Constitution, and hopefully find, like the state Supreme Courts in North Carolina and Pennsylvania did, that it's not. But that helps. But then we got to rebuild things. But it's a huge breath of fresh air if we can stop the damage. And since the governor, the best thing the governor did in the vetoes, Earl, is veto most of the tax cut for the wealthy,
right,
the top two income brackets for it. That saved $3.5 billion that's still available for the next budget. So, and it would have been very hard to raise those taxes after already lowered, you know, the outcry and the lies that would have come around that. So that is the thing we should be focusing on. That's not the education veto, the 400-year thing. But there are other workarounds. You see, President Biden has passed massive amounts of money for infrastructure and for the climate response. Really, the Inflation Reduction Act is a climate bill. And local governments and the state can compete for more of it. And so that's where Milwaukee can find revenue. That's why it's so important that Milwaukee, we were very involved in this for 4 years, you know, where passed the Milwaukee Climate and Economic Equity Plan. So Milwaukee is committed to winning as much of that money as possible. It could be massive investments here in the city and in the schools, in terms of investments in the school buildings and greening them. But because of the Biden administration, if Biden's reelected, he is promising to finish the job and pour in a lot more money that we need to prevent runaway climate change, for example, and to greatly improve economic and racial equality. And so there is a pathway to get money as we fix the state level. So I just want to tell your listeners, give them some hope that more immediate progress is possible, but we're going to continue to be in this situation until we can have a democratically elected state legislature.
You know, Dr. Craig, winners, the county executive and the mayor, both won in this because both of them are up for re-election and they have been able to get what their predecessors were not able to get after a decade of fighting, and that's this sales tax. And so to those, you know, two branches of government or offices, they're taking victory laps. Are they justified in that from your perspective?
Probably not. It's a little hard to tell. I don't know what the internal dynamic was being Governor Evers, County Executive Crawley, and Mayor Johnson, and to what extent they're responsible for the terrible negotiating tactics. They may not be responsible at all. They may have been along for the ride.
Which I think is more the case.
I don't know for sure. I mean, maybe that'll probably never come out because the Evers administration is the most insular I've ever encountered. So that may never leak. But I would say that the city made a huge mistake and the county by before these two leaders trying to offer up the sales tax on the false assumption the Republicans weren't giving Milwaukee money because they cared about where the money was coming from. They've always cared about punishing Milwaukee and blaming it for everything. And you talked about how Republicans justify everything by blaming someone else's wrongdoing. Then they can do anything they want to that group of people or that city or what have you. And the Republicans said, oh, great. So we won't give Milwaukee the full increase every other city and county gets in the whole state. We'll give them 10% instead of 20%, and they'll make it up with a regressive sales tax, which taxes many of the most low-income, struggling people in the whole state who are concentrated in Milwaukee. And it's not enough, really, to fix the situation, and it comes with massive strings. So turning down the sales tax wouldn't have gotten rid of those strings, so that wasn't part of that decision.
Right.
Hopefully we can sue and overturn those, and that is going to happen. But I'm not sure being associated with the sales tax, which, as you know, in the town hall meeting on the north side was wildly unpopular, is actually a political benefit to them. Because really, people don't focus on the increase of fiscal policy and balancing the city's books. Budget Director Nick Kovac went and explained the budget. Believe me, a lot of very active people aren't very deep or interested in that. What they're going to care about is that they have to pay a huge surcharge and still get substandard services and less public education than the wealthier parts of the state that already have all sorts of other advantages.
Dr. Craig, it's good having you back. We've got to go. Thank you very much, as always. We'll be back in touch next week. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. See you guys on tomorrow.